Hello, welcome to Lectionary at Lunch at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Today we are going to be looking at the readings, the pericopes for Sunday, February 15th. And the Old Testament reading that we'll be looking at comes from 2 Kings chapter 5. It's a great pericope, the pericope where Naaman from the nation of Aram or Syria comes down to Israel to be cured of his leprosy, and he's told that it can indeed be cured, the prophet tells him, by washing in the Jordan River 7 times. So it's a well-known story and a significant story. And I think what we'll do is first take a look at the Hebrew text and then come back and reflect a little bit on it. There's a lot of Hebrew text to get through here, so we will have to kind of fly through portions of it. It begins with a disjunctive vav at the beginning of 2 Kings 5, verse 1. Now Naaman. Naaman, and in apposition with that, the commander of the army of the king of Aram. Four-word construct chain in apposition with Naaman. I should probably start by reading it in the Hebrew. V'na'aman sar zva melech Aram haya ish gadol lifnei Adonav u Neshu panim, kivo natan Yahweh teshua la'aram, v'ha'isha haya gibor chayil mitzorah. Now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Aram, was, there you have the verb haya, was a ish gadol, a great man, lifnei Adonav, before his Lord. And notice that Lord there has a type 2 pronominal suffix, which indicates very woodenly it's before his lords, but it's referring singularly to the king of Aram. And I suppose you'd consider that a plural of majesty. So he was a great man before his Lord, and being lifted up of face. Here you have call passive participle in construct with panim, lifted up of face, and this is just an idiom indicating that he was favored in the king's favor. Then we followed by a key clause which explains why he's a great man and favored by the king. Because by means of him, bo, that's a bait of means with a third masculine singular suffix, by means of him, Yahweh had given teshua to Aram. He had given salvation or victory. Victory in war, since Naaman is the general of the army. And it's interesting that the narrator here indicates that Yahweh is the one who has given victory to Aram through Naaman. Then it indicates, with a vav plus a non-verb again, perhaps a disjunctive vav, and the man was a gibor chayil, a man of valor, a mighty man of valor. But then it's followed by the pu'al participle that indicates having leprosy, or it could be a substantive participle in apposition, a leper. And that probably explains why you can have a disjunctive vav here. It's been saying he's a great man, favored by the king, because God's given victory to Aram through him, but he was a great man having leprosy. So there's an interesting contrast here. It builds him up in many ways as a great and powerful man, and then it throws qualification or modification of his status here right at the end, but having leprosy. Verse 2. The Aram Yatsa'u Gedudim Vayishbu Me'eretz Yisrael Na'ara Kutana. Now Aram, it continues with these disjunctive vav clauses. It's all giving you the background for the narrative that's going to unfold here. So we don't have any of our standard vav consecutive imperfects yet. We're not to the main storyline. Now Aram had gone forth, just the call perfect of Yatsah, gedudim. This is just a plural noun, raiding parties. And when you have a noun sitting in the syntax like this in Hebrew, it's not a subject, it's not the direct object, it's not the object of a preposition, sometimes you wonder what to do with it. It's usually an accusative functioning adverbially, an adverbial accusative. So here probably an adverbial accusative of manner. Aram had gone forth as raiding parties. And they had taken captive, the vav consecutive here is from shava, a third hey verb, they had taken captive from the land of Israel a na'ara katana, a little servant girl. And then the next clause after the atnak here is feminine, and so this little servant girl is now the subject. Vat hi lifne eshet na'aman, and she was, from haya, before, and eshet is the construct of isha, before the wife of Naaman. That's an idiom for saying she served the wife of Naaman. She was a servant to the wife of Naaman. Verse 3. Another feminine verb, vatomer el gabirta, achale adoni lifne hanavi asher b'shomeron. And she said, the servant girl did, to her mistress. And notice the word that it uses here for Naaman's wife. He's been called a gibor chayil, a mighty man of valor, and now she is called the feminine version of that, a giborah, a woman of esteem, a noble woman. She said to her mistress, or to her noblewoman, Achale. This is an interjection that means, oh that, or would that. It expresses a wish. Oh that, my lord, it's a verbless clause here, were before the prophet who is Beshomeron, in Samaria. Oz, then, Ya'asof oto mitzarato. Then he would, the subject of Ya'asof here is the prophet that was just referenced, then he would asaf, direct object, him from his leprosy. This is an interesting use of asaf. Asaf usually means to gather or collect or possibly to withdraw or pull back. And so the sense here obviously is that he's going to be healed of his leprosy, but how exactly a saw functions in this idiom is a little unclear. The sense is anyway that he will be pulled back from his leprosy, you might say, although later on in the text the leprosy itself is the direct object of asaf. The leprosy itself is asaft. Anyway, then the prophet would asaf him from his leprosy, cure him of his leprosy. Verse 4, Vayavo vayaged la'adonav, and here we have a very abrupt change of subject. All of a sudden, it was just the servant girl speaking to her mistress, and now it's masculine verbs. And he went, and he reported. That's the hifil of nagad, a first nun verb. The nun has assimilated, vayaged. It's hifil basic, it just means to report. And he went and he reported to his master. And that plural form of Adon here, his masters, we saw that up in verse 1 referring to Naaman's great lord, the king of Aram. And that's what's going on here. Naaman goes and he tells to his master, the king of Aram, saying, Kazot v'kazot deberah hana'arah. Like this and like this, such and such, in other words, the servant girl spoke, third feminine singular, PL of Davar there, the servant girl spoke, and a relative clause then modifying the servant girl who is from the land of Israel spoke. And he reports to the king what she said. And immediately we get how the king responds. Verse 5, Vayomer Melech Aram, lake, bow, v'eshlaka, sefer el melech Yisrael. And the king of Aram said, and we have two short imperatives here, the first from Halak and the second from Bo. Really, it's just go, go. Go, go, and I will send you. Or I will send, I guess. It's a simple vav plus the cohortative of shalak. Notice the cohortative hey. So something like go and let me send. Or go and let me send sefer, a scroll, El Melech Yisrael, to the king of Israel. So the king sends him and he says, let me send with you a scroll. Vayelek, vayikak, b'yado, eser kikere kesef, v'sheshet elafim zahav, v'eser chalifot bugadim. And he went and he took. Notice the weak verbs there, the first from halak, which acts like a first yod. It loses its first letter. The second verb, vayikach, is from lakach, which acts like a first nun and loses its first letter. He went and he took in his hand, and ether is the number 10, 10 talents of silver and 6,000 Sheshet Elathim, 6,000 gold. Now, in some constructions, you would assume that talent is indicated here by ellipsis, but probably not when you're talking about gold. Probably not 6,000 talents of gold, probably just 6,000 pieces of gold. And 10 changes, kalifot bugadim, changes of clothes, perhaps is a special term that indicates festive garments, expensive garments. So the point is, Naaman is a very powerful individual. He has the king of Aram behind him. He's equipped with great wealth and riches going in pursuit of this healing in Israel. Vayave ha-sefer el melech Yisrael lemor. And he brought, that's the hifil of Bo, you can tell that by the EI vowel underneath the bait in Vayave, and he brought the scroll or the letter to the king of Israel, lemor, saying. And what we're going to find here after lemor is that this is what the letter says, not what Naaman says to the king. Saying, V'ata kavo ha-sefer hazeh eleka, hine shalakti eleka et Naaman avdi. And now, V'ata, and now. And then you have the infinitive construct of bo preceded by a temporal cough. So it's a temporal clause here. And now, when this sefer comes to you, or very woodenly, in the coming of this scroll to you, or when it comes to you, behold, I have sent shalakti to you, direct object, Naaman avdi, my servant. Va asaf to, this is a vav consecutive perfect, second masculine singular. You see the tav verbal ending. It doesn't have its customary comets under it, the ta ending, because the suffix is o. So it omits the comets. And what you have here then is a second masculine singular ending followed by a third masculine singular suffix. And you will asaf him. A vav consecutive perfect can function to indicate purpose or result, intended result. I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you in order that you should asaf him from his leprosy. So here we have being cured of leprosy again as asaf. And here's the king's response, verse 7. Vayhi kikro melech Yisrael, and it happened in the reading of the king of Israel. Kara can mean to proclaim, it can also mean to read, so it's a temporal clause again. And it happened when the king of Israel read, direct object, the sefer, the letter, the scroll. And now the main clause after a temporal clause is usually introduced with a vav consecutive, so we don't translate the and here. He tore, this is it's a homonym. It sounds like kara to read, but it means to tear with an ayin on the end, kara. He tore bugadav, his clothes, vayomer, and he said, ha Elohim ani lahamit u lahakayot. This is an interrogative hey on the front of Elohim here. Question mark, God am I, or am I God? And then the lamads here plus the infinitive constructs indicate, now this is a use of the infinitive construct called specification. It gives a further explanation to the question that's just preceded it. Am I God in what respect, in other words? Am I God with respect to killing, the infinitive construct hithil of moot, with respect to killing and with respect to making alive, another hifil form, this time from chaya, to be alive. Am I God with respect to killing and making alive? Ki ze shaloach elai le'asof ish mitzarato. And this is a key clause that functions after a question to give further clarification or further definition to the question. We just translated that in English after a question. Am I God with respect to killing and making alive that this one, Zeh here, functions as a substantive, that this man is sending, Sholeach, the call participle, to me, and then a lamed of purpose, followed by the infinitive construct, in order to cure a man from his leprosy. Ki ak da'u na ura'u ki mit anehu li. For, surely, and then two imperatives addressed to the people around the king, for surely know and see, you all know and see, from Yada and Ra'a, and then the object of what they're commanded to see or perceive, that, and then a Hitzpael participle from Ana. He is, it can be translated to happen or to befall, but in this context, it can also have the nuance of to spoil for a fight, to try to start a fight, to come out for a fight. And the sense here, the subject is who, afterwards, that he is starting a fight, Lee, with me, with respect to me. All right, verse 8. Vahi kishmo Elisha ish ha-Elohim ki kara melech Yisrael. And it happened, now another temporal clause, when Elisha, the man of God, heard, Shema, that the king of Aram had karad, had torn et begadav, his clothes, and then the main clause is introduced with a vav consecutive, he sent to the king saying, and now the question that he sends begins with lama here, lama karata begadeka, why have you torn your clothes? Yavona, the little na particle here is a good clue that this is a jussive rather than an imperfect. Also, the loss of the mater letter usually indicates a jussive. So, let him come, Eli, to me. Vayeda, so that he will know. Here, a vav consecutive, or a simple vav plus the imperfect after an expression of volition usually indicates intended result. So let him come to me in order that he may know ki yesh navi b'Yisrael, that there is, particle of existence, yesh, that there is a prophet in Israel. And Naaman follows the prophet's instructions. Vayavo Naaman b'susav, and Naaman went with his, the Masoretic text here, the consonants read with his singular horse, or on his horse. The Kere reading out in the margin and the Masoretic vowel pointing make it plural, with his horses, indicating a large company. Uvarikbo, and with his chariotry. Here this is singular, but chariotry is almost always singular, used as a collective. So he has a big retinue. With his horses and with his chariotry, vayamod, and he stood, petach habayit la Elisha. He stood, and here again we have a noun that's not subject, direct object, or the object of a preposition. It's an adverbial accusative of place. He stood at the door of the house belonging to Elisha, the door of Elijah's house. Verse 10. Vayishlach elav Elisha malach, and Elisha sent to him a malach, a messenger, lamor, saying. And then we have the infinitive absolute of halak here, halok. When the infinitive absolute is just standing out, it's usually by itself, it's usually an adverb or a verbal substitute for something else, usually an imperative. And here in this context, the imperative works pretty well. The messenger said, halok, go, v'rakatsta, and here the vav consecutive perfect also acts kind of as a wild card, echoing this imperatival sense, and you will rakats, wash, or just as an imperative, go and wash, sheva pa'amim, seven times, by Yardane, in the Jordan, vayashov, b'saraka l'ka, and here it's just the vav consecutive of shuv, and your basar, your flesh, will return to you, u tahar, and be clean. This is the second person singular imperative of tahar, be clean. And be clean, or I should say the imperative, we think of that as a command. Here it's kind of a strange command to a leper to be clean, but can also have kind of a promissory sense. The imperative can have the force really of a promise, and that's what it is here. Go and wash, your flesh will return to you, and be clean. You will be clean. Naaman becomes angry. We probably don't have time to deal with every clause now here between here and the end of the text. He becomes angry, cuts off, and he goes away, and he says, "Didn't I say to myself that surely the prophet will come out, he will stand, he will call upon," interesting observation here, "he'll call upon the Shem Yahweh, the name of Yahweh his God, and he will wave his hand toward the place, Hamakom, indicating the places of leprosy on his body, V'asaf ha-mutzorah, and he will asaf the leprosy. He will gather up, withdraw, pull out the leprosy. And then he has two questions, beginning with hello. Is it not the case that? Is it not the case that the Avana and the Parfar, the rivers of Damascus, are good more than, here we have a predicate adjective tov, are good, followed by a comparative min, mikol meme Yisrael, more than all the waters of Israel. Meme is just mayim in the construct. Is it not the case that I should rakats, wash, in them, and I will be clean? And he turned, and he went away, and then a bait of manner here, in rage. His servants then nagash him, verse 13. His servants draw near to him, and they speak to him, and they said, "Father," and there's an interesting textual variant here. There's two pretty different ways to read this next verse, and the English versions take it in two different ways. The first, as the Masoretic text reads here, is simply, "Father, Avi, Davar Gadol, a great word, Hanavi Deber Aleka, the prophet has spoken to you." So it's just a statement. The prophet has spoken a great word to you. "Hello, Ta'ase, should you not do it?" And, "Af ki amar aleka rakats u tahar." And this becomes a question, very woodenly, it's, "And really," or "and indeed," "off, that he said to you," "and really he said to you." This is the same thing that the serpent asked Eve in the garden, the same grammatical construction, "did God really say?" So they would be saying here then, "Did he really say to you, wash and be clean?" In other words, could it really be that simple? Their confession is, "Hey, he's spoken a great word to you. Shouldn't you do it? Did he really say to you, just wash and be clean?" Now, the other way to take it, some of the Greek text traditions insert an M after Avi. So they say instead, "Father, if the prophet spoke to you a great word." If the prophet spoke to you a great word, and now hello ta'aseh becomes, "would you not do it?" And it turns out that off-key, the following construction, can also have the sense after a statement of how much more than. How much more than if he says to you, "wash and be clean." So either way, they're encouraging him to take the prophet's advice. The ESV takes it the first way, that I described, and most other English translations take it the second way. Interesting. The Vulgate takes it the second way, Jeff says. And then finally, at his servant's encouragement, Vayered, Vayitbol, and he went down and he dipped by Yardane in the Jordan, Shava Pa'amim, seven times, and importantly here, Kedabar ish ha-Elohim, according to the word of the man of God, Vayashav Basaro, and his flesh returned, Kebasar na'ar katon, like the flesh of a little lad, of a little child, Vayithar, and he was clean. We don't have a lot of time to do reflection on this, but some of the themes here for Lutheran teaching and proclamation are pretty clear. God's word accomplishes what he promises. His means sometimes appear very lowly, and yet he fulfills his promises. Here he has a devar attached to washing. The connections with baptism are pretty wonderful and profound. But especially what I think, one thing to note in this text is the way that they build up the greatness of Naaman at the beginning. He is a great man. He's surrounded with all these resources. But in the end, his stature, his reputation, his accomplishments, the favor of his own king. He has two kings trying to help him in the midst of this. Not even the kings can help him. He's traveling with horses and chariotry. And in the end, salvation for him is found. Teshua, which he had won for Aram militarily at the beginning, salvation is found for him in the end in becoming like a little child. And so you have this little servant girl, the feminine of Na'ar, a Na'ara Kutana at the beginning, who points him towards the prophet. And in the end, you have Naaman becoming himself one with the flesh like a Na'ar Katon, like a little child. And there's this is a great theme in the books of Samuel and Kings, is God lifts up the lowly. God is the Savior of the lowly, and strength in the end is found in Yahweh alone, and it's found especially by the lowly as they find help in Him. All right, we'll stop there and go on with the gospel reading.